I want you to open up your Bible to two places, John 16 and Galatians chapter 1. I hope someday you have the joy of having the responsibility to stand before a group of people that's already been well taught in the Word. You know, people that's been dining on filet mignon and sirloin. You know, they're not accustomed to strawberry milkshakes anymore, you know. And then you know that you're on, you know, in an hour, you know, your time, you've got to stand up here. And so you're just, how would the Bible say it? I besought the Lord fervently. And it's almost like, you know, he gave me two little crumbs. I know two little verses where we're going to start, and I have a general idea, and the rest of it, here we go, you know. I think what he's wanting to ask you is this question. Who is your teacher? You relying on Dave? Well, it's okay if you're new, I guess, you know. Relying on me? You're in big trouble. And Alan? No, that's it. I'm really not even talking about that, though. I mean, you know, I could mention the others that teach. How about an angel? God send you an angel to teach you? Well, let's look at these two verses just for a minute. I guess we'll start in John. You know, and again, what's going on here, John 14, 15, 16, 17, we're just hours from the cross at this point. And the disciples have forsaken all to follow Jesus for 3.5 years, and I know that they're really glad that they did. Can you imagine the things that they've seen, you know? Just what's recorded for us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is just astounding beyond words, you know. But then John says, well, this is just a little bit. If all the things that Jesus did in those 3.5 years, if all the things that he did were written down, I don't suppose all the books in the world could hold it. Isn't it amazing what they saw? But now he's coming to the end of his earthly ministry in his own body, in his single body. The cross is just a little bit, a few hours away, and he's telling them he's about to leave the planet. He's no longer going to be traveling with them in the manner that they've become accustomed to. And so I'm sure their mind were full of the same questions that would be in our mind. Well, if you leave, is it over? Is this it? After 3.5 years? Now what? Who are we supposed to follow now? Well, that's when he begins introducing the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we've taught over and over again, starting in John 14, how he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. You know, I'm not going to leave you having to find your own way through a dark world. He says, I'm also not going to leave you without my leadership. I'm going to send you the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter. And when he comes, he's not going to speak of his own accord. In other words, he's not come to be your Lord. But what he hears, that's what he's going to speak unto you. So it was really, and rather than becoming to the end of the Lord's ministry, it was really the beginning of a great expansion of the Lord's ministry. Because while he was in that one single body, he was geographically limited to one space on earth at any given time. He could only minister. If you wanted to get a miracle, you had to go where he was. Or unless he sent out one of the 12 or one of the 70. But really, his plan was to magnify his ministry and have a body without number, if you'll allow me, because his ministry was to continue through the entire body of Christ, and that means you. And we're everywhere, have you noticed? We need to be everywhere more than we are. But he says, I'm not going to leave you. I can just imagine, you know, he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I just imagine what Peter thought and John and James, you know, they're going, well, there's so much we don't know. Do you ever feel like that? There's so much we don't know. I mean, I feel that way every time I pray for a really hopeless case. And even as I'm teaching this, listen, I am so glad for anyone that gets healed by the power of God. And if I thought it was possible, I'd pay the way and fly some people that I know anywhere where I thought they had a real good chance of getting out of the chair. you know. So I'm not against that. I'm just teaching. What I'm endeavoring to do is just teach the Bible. Is that okay? Okay, we're going to stay with the Bible. You can go on if you want to. I'm going to stay with it. Okay? Well, but there's so much I don't know, and I feel that way every time I pray for a Tommy who got cerebral palsy, can't get out of the chair. Been that way for over 20 years, probably almost 30 years now. I have prayed with all the faith I have. You can't tell me that I wasn't praying with all the faith I had. I was using all the knowledge that I have. I was using the prayer of agreement. We had more than one there. Everything you can think of, but he didn't get out of the chair. And I think there's so much I need to know. Well, who's my teacher? Who's going to get me from where I am to where I can be? Because I know if Jesus, if he was still here in his earthly body, his own, like he had Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See, he's trying to do it through my body. But if he was here himself in his own body, that one that he had in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I don't have a doubt in the world. You bring a Tommy to him or any of these that we have, these pictures on this prayer box here, these what the world would call hopeless cases. You bring them to Jesus, they're not going to leave the same way they came in. They're going to be healed, every single one of them, every time. See, I thank God for the teaching I've received that even get me there. Because religion taught me it might be God's will to leave them in those chairs. Thank God I've gotten past that. Thank God forever. Well, Jesus told them real plain, and he told us real plain, who it is that's going to be our teacher. Who it is that's going to take us from where we are to where we need to go. So he says here, verse 12, John 16:12, let's start with that. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Can you imagine what that sounded like? What if you had been following him for 3.5 years and you've been sitting around the campfires every night in between these towns and he's taught you and taught you and taught you, and then you had questions, and you know, like the so-or-sos they were, and they didn't really understand. So he goes ahead and he says, well, to you it's given to know the mysteries, and I'll go ahead and explain it to you. Now, to those that are outside, they don't know, but I'm going to tell you. So you already consider yourself to be in the inner circle, in the sense of, hey, you got to sit around the campfire and hear things explained that the rest of the world has never heard. And yet, right before he's leaving, he's going, you know, there's a lot of things I'd really like to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. But the reason they couldn't bear them, don't turn there, but it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. See, at that moment before the cross, they're not born again. They don't yet have the Spirit of God on the inside of them. They have the Spirit of Adam. Passed down generation to generation, and that spirit that's born with the law of sin and death working in it. And Jesus communicated with them in ways that they could understand. That's why he always taught in parables, trying to teach heavenly things in natural terms that they could understand. But see, now he's brought them as far as he can with that method, and he's going, boy, there's a lot of things I'd like to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. Well, 1 Corinthians 2 will tell you why. It says the natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. No matter how hard you try, you can't know them because they are spiritually discerned. You have to have not the spirit of the world in you, it says, but the spirit which is of God. Why? That you might know the things that are freely given to you of God. Which it plainly says in that passage, which the Holy Ghost teacheth, not angels. Well, you say, well, man can teach it only if that man has been taught by the Holy Ghost. See, it's like I'm doing right now. Sure, we can receive revelation from Dave. You can receive revelation from me. But see, ultimately, what are you going to do when he sends you to the streets of Baghdad? Just picking one. Or the streets of Sepulpa. Okay? You're going to need to be taught by him yourself. You need your own communication line with the Holy Ghost. You think you're going to walk out your call in your own tremendous intellect, do you? You're going to get Tommy out of the chair? I'll fly to New York at my own expense if you can do it. I've had that on the table for years, and it's still out there. Send me a letter, I'm flying you to New York. We'll see if you can get him out. If you can't get him out, you're paying the way back. I'm telling you that. Tell me. Well, now, are angels a valid part of the New Testament? Absolutely. But they're not your teacher. There's visitations of angels. Paul had them. Peter had them. I mean, here's Peter. You know, they're going to behead him the next day. You know, most of us would be worried and frantic, you know, trying to get on dollar prayer. Calling Daisy. Oh, God, if I could just reach Daisy. And that's okay. But see, Peter already had a word from the Lord that says, Peter, when you're old. When you're old. He already knew. I mean, he's in prison only just a short time after Jesus said that. He's not old. You know? He knows he's not going to die. He just doesn't know how it's going to happen. So he's so full of peace, he's asleep in there in the jail cell. And an angel comes in. Most of us, you know, usually there's a presence when an angel shows up. But Peter's so sound asleep, he doesn't feel nothing. Angel has to whack him on the side there. Wake up. Wake up. I'm an angel from heaven. Wake up. You ain't seen me before. And he has to follow the angel's instructions to get out of there. Now, see, that's a valid ministry. I hope to God he sends me an angel if I'm ever in prison. You know. Amen. That'd be good. All right. There's other times an angel appeared to Paul during that storm at sea, communicated with him some information. But who is your teacher is the question. So let's finish looking at this now. John, just for a moment, at least finish reading the verse. Jesus had brought them as far as he could with natural teachings, using parables, using natural examples, trying to explain spiritual and heavenly things. So he says again in verse 12, though, he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, God, the older I get, the more I appreciate that name of the Holy Ghost. He is the Spirit of truth. One time in one of the face-to-face encounters I had, he said it to me this way. He says, now, there is a period of time where people are acquiring truth as they allow me to be their teacher. And, you know, they believed a lie, and I'm progressively leading them into the knowledge of the truth. And he says, I bear long with them while their mind is being renewed, even as they continue in a lie. But he says, you know, the time does come when they learn. Enough, I have brought them truth, and now they comprehend it. They understand it in a way that they can personally comprehend it and act on it if they choose to. Now, he says, if they choose not to act on the truth, I have nothing left on the shelf to bring them, because I'm the Spirit of truth. I don't have any other commodities on the shelf to bring them. And if they refuse to act on the truth, they will believe a lie. And if they refuse to act on the truth, by their choice, they separate themselves from my power. Because I only act on truth. Thank God for the Spirit of truth. Thank God for the Spirit of truth. If you want to read that whole document, that one's called Acting on Truth. It's at the website in the Face-to-Face series. Well, but then he says, now verse 13, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, has come? Well, see, he's not come until after they're born again. When did this come? When did they receive, in the way we understand it, the Spirit of truth? On the day of Pentecost. The day the Holy Ghost came and filled them and gave them that language by which they could communicate the mysteries and begin to be taught. So they couldn't receive him here. They weren't yet born again. But when he does come, after they're born again, what is he going to do? When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Who is it that's going to guide him into all truth? A little louder, please. Holy Spirit. Who is it that's going to guide us into all truth? It's that same Holy Spirit. For he shall not speak of himself, in other words, on his own authority, But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Well, that's good news. Who's going to show it to us? The Holy Spirit. Why is he going to show it to us? Well, verse 15. All things that the Father hath are mine. That's his full inheritance. Therefore said I that he will take of mine, and he's going to show it unto you. Why? Because they didn't know it at the time. We know it because we have the rest of the New Testament. He was making them joint heirs with him. And he has made us joint heirs with him. So how much of what the Father has is his? All of it. How much that the Father has is yours? All of it. Well, how are you going to learn about that? I have sent you the Spirit of truth. He's going to take of mine. He's going to show. See, I already have this inheritance. He's going to take of mine. He's going to show it unto you. Why? So you can walk in the same inheritance. All right, now go over to Galatians 1 for a minute. Jim Martin and I were discussing this because of there's a lot of commotion going on in the body of Christ right now, you know, and all kinds of camps are already setting up, you know. It's of God. It's like a revival. It's of God. It's of the devil. I'm not sure. I think it's partly God. I think it's partly the devil. And all kinds of things are going on, you know. So Jim Martin and I were talking about this, you know, and... You know, this isn't the first time, by the way, this isn't the first time this kind of thing has happened. If you read a history, like, let's just take William Branham. You know, if you read about him, I mean, the miracles, the word of knowledge, this guy could read he could tell you your phone number. He could tell you the name of your doctor. And this was before they had wireless microphones. You know, I mean, it wasn't any rig to it. He could really do it. And the miracles that would astound people. Yet when the man began to teach, you know, he was warned by several prophets at the time, don't teach, Brother Branham, please, you're a great blessing to the body of Christ, but you're not called to teach. He says, he made up his own mind, I will teach. And that was really the beginning of his downfall. If you ever listen to the man's teaching, you wonder if he's sane. I've listened to it. I had just a couple of his tapes, and I listened to him, and I'm going, God, you used this man? You got people out of the wheelchairs with this guy? And so what went around the body of Christ at the time is, well, you can follow his faith, but you can't follow his doctrine. We've got a similar thing going on now. And I was talking with Jim Martin about this because what's going on, I mean, it seems to be genuine miracles happening. Seems to be. Yet you listen to some of the things that's being taught, you know. They're encouraging you to seek third heaven experiences. Oh, you know, apparently some of them go to the third heaven like you and I go to the Quick Trip. I mean, just run up to the third heaven for a while. You know, but yet I read Paul's letter and he says, well, I know a man that, talking about himself, he's being humble. I know a man that was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Doesn't sound like he went every week or twice a week or in between services take a run up to the third heaven. Yeah, 14 years ago, you know, God sent me. I got to go. But you know what he said, though? He said, the things that I saw there, now it depends on how it's translated. Some of them say this, the things that I heard. Some of them say, it's unlawful for me to tell. And some of them say, it's impossible for me to tell. But in either event, he didn't tell. You got that? If I'm reading that correctly, he didn't get to tell it. Now, I have no doubt it had an impact on him. I have no doubt whatever he saw and heard there changed the Apostle Paul. But either way you translate that, whether it was unlawful to tell it or whether it was impossible to tell it, just there's no words to convey. Much like Jesus said, you can't bear them now. Either way, he didn't tell it. So it makes me wonder, you know. And plus, some of the doctrine, some of the doctrine that's being spoken, actually encouraging you to get in touch with your angel or have angelic visitations. Well, now see, here you go. You can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. New Testament, Old Testament, there's such a thing as angelic visitations. You ever read the book of Revelations? Big part of that, an angel, is there's visions going on and an angel's explaining things to John, you know. So there is such a thing. But now the question is, who is your teacher? When did Jesus say, I am going to send you angels and they're going to teach you? Well, I started to say, Jim Martin and I, we're discussing all of these things and much more. And we're getting all kinds of questions. And being real careful how we answer the questions. Okay? I'm going to stick with the Bible with all that I know how. Do you have opinions? Yes. What are they? None ya. And you'd be better off to quit spouting yours. Just stay with the Bible and pray for the man. He's not trying to do anything wrong. Now, look at this is what Jim Martin and I, he brought this up. I hadn't seen it before. And I promised you, Jim, that the first time I taught it, I'd give you credit. This is it, Jim. Next time, it's all mine, buddy, all mine. You hear me? Look at this verse in Galatians chapter 1. And really, we're looking for verse 8. Let's start at verse 6, though. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Another gospel. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, before I even read the next verse, let me preface this. I know, you know, you meditate the book of Galatians. Who is this? Who is he talking about? He's talking about the Judaizers. He's not talking really about an angel. He's talking about the Judaizers who were coming and is saying they weren't exactly denying Christ. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to get in and talk to these Christians anyway. But they were saying, well, yeah, okay, Christ is the Messiah, but if you want to be perfect, you got to keep the law. So they were still putting people back under the law, which is another gospel. Yet, why put this phrase in here? Here's what Jim Martin brought out. Now look at verse 8. But though we, now get this, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Jim brought out the point. Why phrase it like that? If there weren't already in the first century, you know, these Judaizers are trying to get Christians off track. Is the devil for that or against it? The devil's for that. Wouldn't he, you know, we're told in the Bible that he is able to transform himself into an angel of light. And it's, you know, in fact, if you really want to know the truth of it, the first occurrence that we have of him in the Bible, in Genesis, was he not a messenger to Eve? Didn't he come with a different gospel? God had given Adam the word of God, which he had passed on to Eve. And here comes the devil with another gospel, if you'll allow me. He was, the very first time we see him, he's a, quote, angel. Whether to, you know, not really, I don't mean it by that, but he's a messenger, let's use that word. He's a messenger bringing a different word than what God had said. The very first time we see the guy, see the rascal, his methods have not changed. So the devil's all for this deception that's going on through the Judaizers. If you was the devil, now what would you do to, what could you do to seal the deal? What if you had some demons show up as angels of light and begin endorsing this legalistic doctrine that would put the people back under the law? I don't know for sure. We're not given much detail, but it's a possibility. Why word it that way? If already in the first century, these, quote, angels weren't showing up trying to lead the Christians off track. Pretty good stuff, huh? Think about that. Well, let's talk about more modern day. In my opinion, here you go, I am giving this opinion. In my opinion, the Mormon doctrine is a cult. I don't think it's of God at all. Every time that they, even this verse, if they come preaching another gospel, let them be accursed. Even their television commercials about the Book of Mormon, what is it? It is another testament. I mean, it's too close for me. It's another testament. I think it's a cult. I think it's of the devil. I don't think it's of God at all. And in the beginning, it was polygamy was a big part of it. They changed over the years. Now, you know, we've got branches now that are still trying to do that, but the main line is no polygamy now. Not that we know of, anyway. Okay. Well, how did that religion get started? Well, if you read about it, it was this, quote, angel named Moroni. If I'm saying that right, it might have been Moroni. I always thought that was interesting, but... Supposedly, this angel from heaven named Moroni came and appeared to Joseph Smith. And, you know, I'm not going to teach on that at length, but in result, he gave him, if I remember correctly, these golden glasses in the spirit. Golden glasses by which he was able to read this other gospel. Well, now we have a different gospel brought by an angel that set up one of the largest cults in America today. And I believe that angel Moroni, now this is not, don't write letters to Dave Roberson. This is not his responsibility, this is mine. My name is Gary Carpenter, I'm just the one speaking today. But this is what I'm saying, not what Dave is saying. But I'm saying it real clear. That angel Moroni is a demon. Do you understand me? It is a demon appearing, masquerading as an angel of light. And it led a big chunk of the body off. And here's what's sad. These are, you ever met these people? They're some of the nicest people you'll ever meet in your life. You know, they're really personable and do anything for you in many ways. Or I admire many of their character traits, you know. But doesn't mean they're gospels of God. I've met nice Buddhists too. But I'm pretty sure Buddha didn't die for my sins. And I'm pretty sure. I'm real sure. Okay. Well, who did Jesus say he was going to teach us? Who did he say he was going to send? So what are we exhorted to do? I'm just, my counsel to you, please. We have nothing in the Bible encouraging you to seek third heaven experiences. We have nothing in the Bible that I can find that says seek to be taught by angels. I don't find anything like that in there. One of the arguments that was used, well, you know, Jesus, his first incarnation was in Mary. And how did the message come to Mary? Oh, it came by an angel. That's true. You look it up and you find the angel appeared and told Mary, "Oh, Mary, thou art highly favored among women," and gave her the message that she was going to basically be the mother of the Savior, that God was going to conceive in her womb a holy child and by the Holy Ghost. And so they go, see there, this angel brought that. But you know what's painfully obvious if you read it? That's true. But it's also painfully obvious that Mary wasn't seeking that experience. Mary was living a life that was holy, acceptable, and pleasing to God. God looked at her heart and said, "This is a woman that can believe. If she can believe, I shall be able to perform what I have spoken unto her." It's no different than you and me. If we can believe, he can perform his word spoken unto us. Mary wasn't seeking a third heaven experience. She wasn't seeking her angel. She was seeking to live a life that was pleasing to God. So what are we exhorted to do if we want to be taught? Don't you wish there was a church? Don't you wish there was some church you could go to where you could be taught how to be taught by the Holy Ghost? And you could sit in the classrooms of the Holy Spirit and be taught by Him any time that you want to, for as long as you want to. And really, it's up to you just how transformed you want to become. Because we all have access to the Holy Spirit 24/7 because He's God. He's got all eternity just for you. And as far as He's concerned, even though He's with each one of us, you're His only student. I always get a little condemned right here, knowing how much of my time I still waste. All right. Go, yes, sir. All right. I know this is back to square one. Go to 1 Corinthians 14 just for a moment. Then I'll do the rest of what he told me. First Corinthians 14, verse 2. I guess this would probably be one of the foundation stones for the prayer center, the revelation that's in this verse. It says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. How be it," or this is how it be, what's going on when I'm speaking in other tongues? "In the Spirit he is speaking mysteries." Now all the way back to square one. Those mysteries, what are they? How many times have you heard Dave say? Let's see now. How many of you think you're explaining mysteries to God? Well, we know that's for sure not the case. So what's going on there? Well, he is explaining mysteries to you. What kind of mysteries? Dave says it this way, can't improve on it. Everything that Christ is in you, to you, and through you. Well, as I was seeking him this morning about these mysteries, this is where I have to close it, because otherwise, as a teacher, I'll just keep teaching on the verses. He took me back to those thrilling days of yesteryear, back to 1992, when Sue and I first walked through the doors of this church. Now, we had already been saved and Spirit-filled for 12 years at that point. We had already been ordained as ministers in 1986 through another church. We had spent 6 years in the prison ministries. We had taught Bible studies. We had done all kinds of things. And one of the things that we did years before we ever come here, and this was through a teaching that I heard from Oral Roberts, we would practice tongues and in trying, asking the Lord to give us the interpretation of that tongue. Okay? And we had some success that way. But it was so inconsistent that it was hard to trust it. Well, we come here to the prayer center and begin hearing this message, starting with 1 Corinthians 14:2 and John 14, 15, 16, talking about the Spirit of truth and how he's going to take of the things of Jesus Christ and show them unto you. And if you'll spend the time in the classrooms of the Holy Ghost praying in other tongues, he is communicating mysteries unto you, not only explaining the mystery of God's words. You rightly divide the word of truth and understand it, but that's also starting to teach you about what he's done for you. That's Christ in you, how you're really free of this and you're free of that if you'll just believe it and act on it. But then also Christ through you, he also begins communicating the mysteries of what in the world it is he's called you to do. You know? Because up until that time, we just had a heart that wanted to serve God, and we were basically doing a scattershot, you know, just, well, prisons, slap, like throwing things against the wall, hoping something sticks, you know, prisons, Bible studies. What? I did worship. I was worship leader in a church for a year. Now, how willing is that to serve God in your foolishness? Whatever they needed, I'd do it. Didn't matter. It says, make a joyful noise. I can do that. Hallelujah. But boy, I mean, if there was a way to find out what he's really called you to do, that, man, I was interested in that. All right, now I got to tell you this part. See, a lot of people that come and start doing the message of the prayer center, they get discouraged. They don't think it's working for them. Let me ask you, is God a respecter of persons? Do you think, okay, I've sent a method that will work for Gary, but it won't work for Helena? Or do you think he sent us the same teacher? Well, I'm going to be real straight with you now. up until the day that, and as you know, the day we walked through this church was at the end of a 5-year period that we affectionately called the 5 years of hell. We had got, in our opinion, hurt and wounded in a church. And so before then, we were going to win Tulsa for God. But after that experience, we just wanted to go to heaven now. Wanted the devil to leave us alone. So without saying these words, I can look back on our actions and tell what we did. Okay, truce. We're not going to try and win Tulsa really anymore. We're just going to try and be nice Christians and go to heaven now. Okay? And so we found out that didn't work for the next... you can't make a truce with the devil. He only knows how to do one thing in three parts, and that's kill, steal, and destroy. So the next 5 years is when we went through all that hell of the cancer and our kids in rebellion and that blood mass that attacked Sue. My business failed. I could go on and on and on with everything you can imagine. It was a bad 5 years. One thing that we knew for sure as we came through the door of this church that day, our way was not working. We were humbled, okay? We knew that whatever we were doing, it was not working. And we were in a place of being taught. But I was so afraid of being mistaught. I didn't trust preachers anymore, even ones that had good intentions. So it took about 6 months, and I'm telling you this for a reason, it took about 6 months listening to Dave's teaching, and thank God he was really teaching milk. He was teaching a lot of the series that are out there now. You know, foundations of tongues, Satan's war machine, all those kind of things. And I would check them out. Man, I thoroughly checked it out in the Bible. And I told Sue after about 6 months, I said, I cannot find anything wrong with what this guy's teaching. I said, you know, even if you leave it in context, it appears right to me. I'm going to start doing this. So I remember like it was yesterday, December of 1992, I had the job of long-haul trucking, driving. And I just made this promise to the Lord. I said, Lord, I am going to turn off the CB radio. I'm going to turn off the regular radio. And Lord, I'm stuck in the cab of this truck a lot of hours every week. I am just going to make the cab of this truck my prayer closet. And if you find me in the cab of this truck, I will be praying in other tongues. I'm not going to go through that whole testimony again. Most of you have heard it. That was easier said than done. It takes a while to get the old, I would drift off. My mind would wander and I'd forget about praying. And you just come to yourself and wonder, how long have I not been praying? Well, you know, all you can do is repent and start again. But after a little while, you can get trained like Pavlov's dog. You know, ring the bell, salivate. Grab hold of the steering wheel, pray in other tongues. It just became, second nature to me. Now, get this part. I want you to really focus now. Listen, I had already had that job 4 years. I had been driving trucks already for 4 years. I had the same Bible knowledge in me, which was a lot. Before we started here, I was a bookaholic and a tapeaholic. I had done a good job of chewing my Copeland Hagen. You understand me? I had, and others, Fred Price, Jerry Seville, Jesse, on and on and on. And I had done a considerable amount of study in the Word myself. I had a lot of Word in me, but now I want you to understand I had that same Word in me. This is for people that doesn't think this works. I had that same Word in me for 4 years driving the trucks. And I was not getting these revelations and things. The only thing that changed I don't know the exact day, but in December of 1992, the only thing that changed is I began yielding my voice and my tongue over to other tongues, over to the Holy Spirit. That's the only thing that changed. I had the same Bible knowledge in me for 4 years before that. And really for many years. Nothing about that changed. I had been listening to the tapes of Dave where he was teaching us the foundations of what would happen to you if you pray. So I had that knowledge that I didn't have before. But other than that, had the same Bible knowledge in me. So the only thing that really changed is I began praying in other tongues 40, 50, 60 hours a week, praying in other tongues. Now get this, it was all at that time The only time I had was driving time. So we would what we call today maintenance prayer. That's where you pray while you're driving the car, pray while you're mowing the lawn, pray while you're doing the dishes. That's the only kind I had. Other than that, I was eating or sleeping. Hard to pray while you're eating. Hard to pray while you're sleeping. I say, okay, so it's the least kind of just maintenance prayer, but it was a lot of maintenance prayer. 40, 50, 60. Well, I've given you this. I'm not going to go in detail again, but that first day was a long day. Hour one, nothing. Hour two, nothing. Hour three, sore throat. Hour four, raspy throat. Hour five, no more warring tongues. Hour six, wishing I'd never heard of Dave. Hour seven, hour eight, hour nine, nothing. And 1,000 thoughts going through my mind like machine gun bullets. This is another, how did Greg put that? This is another soup, another bowl of crap soup. That's what Greg said. I love it. Another bowl of crap soup. I've been served another meal, all right. It's crap soup again. There ain't nothing to it. Been doing it for 9 hours. All I've got's a sore throat and bored out of my mind. Thank God I didn't quit. After 9 hours, it's drivers drive 10 hours on, 8 hours off. Thank God I persevered into that 10th hour, because somewhere in that 10th hour, I had the first little teaching vision, first one that I'd ever had. I'll tell you quickly, I'll summarize it. Now see, I had been studying faith for 12 years. I admired these men of faith. I'd read about Smith Wigglesworth. Oh my God. Faith. You talk about faith. I'd read about the exploits of some of these other men, you know. Man, I admired that. But when I would try and live the same way that they lived, I'd have success a little bit sometimes. You know, I see some of you nodding your heads. Other times, I'd so fall right flat on my face. I mean, it just wouldn't work, you know. I'd feel like a fool and look like a fool. Just wasn't working. If it ain't working, you know, it ain't working. But I would try, and I had studied it, and the thing, yes sir, I'll tell this part. Now I'm trying to, who is your teacher is the message, okay? I had studied their methods of faith to the point I could teach them almost as good as they could. It's not that I didn't have intellectual knowledge. I did. I could tell you all the steps of faith. You know those all those that came out in the 70s and 80s, or the 80s and 90s, you know, seven steps to a faith walk. 6 steps to prosperity. 5 steps to a better marriage. You know, all that stuff, you know, is all formula. Well, I knew it all in the sense of I could teach it. I had intellectual knowledge of it, but I was really having a hard time living it. After 9-point-some-odd hours praying in other tongues, suddenly I watched this little movie play in my mind. I'm going to repeat it to you again. And what he was doing, he was teaching Gary faith. It wasn't anything new. It wasn't really anything different. But the method that he used changed me. It was a method that taught faith to me in a way that was unique to me. It was a way that I could personally comprehend it. And from that day to this, I have never been the same. I'll tell it to you again. That may not affect you like it did me, but he's got a teaching for you about faith. Yes, Lord, I will hurry. In this vision, I just saw this man. It was like the Bonneville Salt Flats. Have you ever seen that? I mean, you could just see to the horizon. It looks like a flat line. And here's a man standing out there. And up in the sky, instead of being clouds, but about where the clouds would normally be, there were these ellipses or circles. And written on each one of those was wonderful things. One of them was love. One of them was joy. One of them was health. One of them was abundance. On and on and on you could go. They were just everywhere. And man, this guy looking up at the sky, he wanted all those things. Man, he's trying to reach up and get these things, you know. But in the vision, he built a little mound of dirt and he climbed up on it and he's jumping, you know. And it'd be as futile as you trying to go out in the parking lot and jump up and touch a cloud that's going overhead. He got even on in the vision, he got a ladder. Tried to climb up the ladder. And the point was, he was working really hard trying to obtain these blessings, what God had for him. Finally, all of that stopped and he just stood there, sort of defeated. And in the vision, he just kind of put his arms out like this. I don't know how to describe that on the tape. It's not, you know, it's almost like surrender. When he did that, in the vision, these lines, these black lines, like you draw a pencil line, came from the cloud, each one of the clouds, down to the man. And then I began to notice whatever was in the cloud flowed like honey down that line to where the man could receive it. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm watching this movie play in my mind. I'm watching this movie. I said, well, those lines are the key. Whatever those lines are, that's the connection that connects the man to everything wonderful that's in the clouds. What is those lines? What are those lines? And just as that question was formulated in my natural mind, it's like the camera shot zoomed in, tilted like this, where I could read. Written on every line was a word. You want to take a guess? That word was faith. Not by your works. It is by grace through faith. It is the gift of God. And I understood faith in a way that's changed me from then till now. I can't earn it. I can't work for it. It's already been made available to me. But there's only one way and one way only for me to receive from God. And that is by faith. Hallelujah. I'm glad I did not quit at hour 9. Now, my question to you, why did not I have that vision 4 years earlier? I'd been driving those trucks for 4 years. Had the same Bible knowledge on the inside of me for the 4 years before that December. Why didn't I have that vision then? Because I did not know at that point how to activate the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, that was just the beginning. It wasn't always visions. Now, that got me. You think that got me encouraged? Man, the very next place to pull off, I called. You know how Dave said, now see, I can teach it real good today, but it's been all these years later. That day, you know how Dave says your spirit will receive a revelation, but your mind hasn't digested it yet? I mean, the very next place to pull off, where there's a phone booth. We didn't have cell phones in those days. I know for the young people, you don't comprehend that, but we didn't have cell phones. So, boy, the very next place where I could get that big rig off and get a phone, I call Sue. I'm sure I sounded like a crazy man. Sue! She goes, what is it, honey? Sue! Man on the horizon. Lines! There was big love! Faith! Lines! Honey! And circle! Faith! She goes, are you okay? What's wrong with you? What? Then I remembered what Dave said. Oh, got it in my spirit. Don't have it in my mind. I'll call you later. Click. About a day or two later, I could communicate that thing, where at least it made some sense. But you know what I did? I took it. I can't draw any better than I can sing. That's scary. So I drew a little stick man version of that vision. I still have it today. So I never forget it. Now let's go on. Who is your teacher? See, rather than seeking third heaven visions, rather than seeking trances, rather than seeking messages, what we're supposed to seek after is the Holy Ghost. We are told to covet. There's a few things we're told to covet, seek after. One of them is the best gifts. Seek after, covet. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Yet show I unto you a more excellent way. What's that excellent way? It's a love chapter. Seek after love more than anything else. But we're also supposed to spend time with this teacher. You do know that when the disciples left their businesses to follow Jesus, you do know they were full-time. I mean, they listened to him a lot, is what I'm trying to get across. It wasn't like, okay, Jesus, give me my little scripture verse for the day. You know, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Shandalai, shandalai, shandalai. Thank you, Lord. I've been taught today. It's not like that. They spent a lot of time with him. If we're going to go where we want to go, we're going to spend a lot of time with the Holy Ghost. Now, see, you come too late to tell me this doesn't work, because I had that same job and that same Bible knowledge for 4 years driving those same trucks, and I was not getting no visions. I was not getting no revelations. until I've started activating the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? 1 Corinthians 14:2. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him, but howbeit in the Spirit he speak in mysteries. Well, as I kept it up, that encouraged me. I thought, surely, you know, my next shift was going to be wonderful. I prayed that whole next 10 hours, nothing. No vision, no revelation, no nothing. Slept for 8 hours, got my next shift, and I was 5 hours into that shift before I had my next teaching where my understanding started to become fruitful on something. But it began to be a pattern. It wasn't always a teaching vision. Sometimes it was just, I would hear almost like you're hearing me now. I know it was internal, but it was really clear. I remember I heard this one. Now, in those days, my opinion of the, you know, Old Testament, New Testament, law, grace. But I just never had this thought. It came to me. I heard what it was more than a thought. It was words. I heard it. I heard him say this one day. He said, Moses is a type of Jesus. And I thought, no, Moses is the law. I don't see how Moses is a type of Jesus. And then I heard him say this. He said, well, Moses certainly didn't deliver Israel by the law, for the law had not yet been given. That's a real good thought, you know. I couldn't hardly wait to get my Bible out. I had it with me, you know. I couldn't, you know, think, you know you can't pull it out and read it going in an 80,000-pound rig through Memphis, but, man, I couldn't wait to get to my next stop and get back there. Red Sea. Oh, law comes later. Oh, my God. Then he began teaching me the rest of it and how Moses is a type and shadow of Jesus. I mean, God did all the miracles through one man. Israel didn't get out by their own works, did they? God used a single man to cause their deliverance. And he said, basically, parted the Red Sea. If you want to be free, come and follow me. What did our Jesus say? You want to be free? Come and follow me. He said, it's a type of Christ. Well, on and on and on it went. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What am I sending about to Kiste? 4 minutes. Okay. We'll give this. As time went on, then he began the process of, would you say, unteaching? De-teaching. He had to start shaking me loose from a lot of false doctrine that I believed. One of them was that we were still under... Okay, now again, this is not Dave Roberson speaking. This is Gary Carpenter speaking. Don't write letters to Dave. Send them to me. I have a big trash can. Just send them to me. He had to start teaching me that we're not under the law of tithing. Now, I believe in tithing. Don't write me your letters. We'll compare your giving and mine. Okay? I just don't believe tithing under the law. Okay, I believe in giving way more than that, but I don't believe in tithing under the law. I don't believe in doing anything under the law, except the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But anyway, at that time I did. I mean, I had taught it hard. I mean, I told this lady one time, there's no hope for you. You're under the curse because you don't tithe. That was Sue's sister, who lived in my house. Couldn't get away from my own teaching. I thank God there were no tapes from those days. This was before, you know. Well, now the Holy Spirit, as I continued the process, he'll just ask you a question. And again, remember what Dave says. When the Holy Spirit asks you a question, he's not looking for information. He's trying to help you. He's trying to get your mind going down a certain path. He asked me one day, just out of the blue. I can tell you where I was. I was driving home from here. Going up Union, y'all know that water tower up there that's red and white checkered painted? I was going right by that. And I heard him just, in fact, he's spoken to me several times right there. We ought to build an altar. No, I'm teasing. I am so teasing. Do you understand me? I am so teasing. You'll build an altar there and probably Mary will appear. Anyway, that's a demon too, by the way. My name is Gary Carpenter. I am not Dave Roberson. Anyway, he said to me, probably now a lot of them turned it off, but anyway, in order for you to give, and he used the word measly. I don't use that word very much. In order for you to give a measly $100,000 into the gospel, am I going to have to pass $1 million through your hands? And I got to thinking about that. Let's see now. In order for me to give $100,000, if I'm really under the law, then that means I had to have $1 million come through me. So that means I got to live now. I have to have a lifestyle of $900,000 a year in order to give $100,000 to the gospel. I said, no, Lord. I mean, it's okay if you want to do it that way, but no, it's not required. I don't have to change anything. If you send it and tell me that's what you want, I'll do that. What was he doing? He's starting to break my thinking free from the bondage of the law. See? He's trying to break me free. Now the question is, listen, I'm not against anything that God is doing. But he wants me to encourage you today. Listen, you've already got the best God has. When he turned you over to a teacher, he didn't turn you over to an angel. How many times have you heard Dave say that? Did he turn you over to an angel? No, you're more valuable than that. He turned you over to a trusted family member, the Holy Spirit himself. He is the one that will guide you into all truth. Now, see, you came too late to tell me this doesn't work. I had that same Bible knowledge, driving the same trucks for 4 years. What changed? The only variable. I began yielding my tongue over for hours upon hours, praying in the Holy Ghost. I wasn't even able to meditate the Word at that time. You can't get the Word out and be reading it while you're driving a rig down the road. The only variable that changed, praying in other tongues. My question is, actually his question is, who is your teacher?